Chapter 3. Lady Nightlinger's Lord. Tanis could see little beyond the gusting flurries of snow. Griffin moved at a steady pace. The crooked streets of the boughs might look empty, but that didn't mean eyes weren't upon them. Running would draw attention, and attention out here was never good. He was a stranger to her, but he was no stranger to the boughs, and she wasn't sure how to feel about that. They circled the pit, stepping out into the relative open of the docks. The sea, bitter in name and nature, whipped against creaking hulls, while footsteps rustled through the drifting snow. Tanis liked these sounds, and the taste of salt in the air. She breathed it all in, just in case. The clouds were thick tonight, so only the faintest sliver of moonlight illuminated the path before her. The darkness drew her eyes up, and she flinched as her gaze brushed the black bridge, far to the north, awash with the glow of old magic. That bridge connected the Mirror Isle to the Guardian's palace. Or, if the Bloodhound waited ahead, incarceration to death. Her footsteps didn't falter. She could get away. When Griffin ducked into Plotter's Lane, Tanis squared her shoulders before marching after him, twisting and turning until he stopped at last. He rapped his knuckles against a rickety door, and she tucked in close to his side. If she was going to die, she might as well die warm. He shifted, awkwardly. She smirked. But then light flared behind a grimy window and Tanis stiffened. There was somebody else in there. Her gaze darted back the way she'd come. If it was the Bloodhound, she probably deserved to die for being so stupid. Griffin looked down at her, the glint of his eyes all she could see within his hulking outline. "You can go in." She laughed. This place was a dump, a cesspit. She doubted very much that any lord could abide stepping within for even a moment. Trap or not, this wasn't what it seemed. "After you," she replied, holding out an arm. There was no way she was putting Griffin at her back. He shrugged, then pushed open the door and slipped inside. It clattered shut behind him. And Tanis hesitated. The pit wasn't far. Ralph would tell her to turn around and so would Lucky, the hypocrite. They'd both remind her why she'd checked her more reckless urges all these years. She had Kiana to think of. At the end of the day, it always came back to her sister. But it was freezing, and that light looked inviting. And maybe the whiff of real danger at the execution had brought something back to life within her, because Tanis pushed the door and held it open as she took stock. The square room before her was utterly bare, but for two lit torches on the walls. No flooring, just mud and puddles of melt. She frowned. It made no sense for such space to be empty. The poorest of the boughs would sleep anywhere. A room like this, with walls and a roof, was a luxury compared to the streets. Similar-sized spaces held multiple families. Only somebody with money to throw around could clear it out like this. "You're letting the cold in." Griffin stood against the opposite wall, his lord nowhere to be seen. A fresh flurry of snow swirled around Tanis's boots as she stepped inside. The door fell shut behind her. The torches sputtered out and the room plunged into absolute darkness. Shit. Dropping into a crouch, Tanis took a quick breath. Her hand reached for the knife in her boot as her head rattled insults, all aimed at herself. Idiot. Moron. Fool. Focus. She had to focus. She couldn't see Griffin, but it wasn't just a lack of light. It was complete darkness, unnatural. Her heart thrummed in response, Her hand groped behind her. Where was the damn door? Careful steps, quick breathing. He was close, and then he was on her, the heat of his body Tanis's only clue. She rolled aside and away, through the bitter melt and mud, then jumped to her feet with one fist curled and the other gripping her blade. She wasn't much of a fighter. She'd never needed to be. But you didn't live your whole life in the bowels without learning a few tricks. If only she could damn well see. It was a horrible sensation to blink and to blink and to find only shadow. She closed her eyes. The air moved to her left. Tanis jerked back. Knuckles brushed her shoulder and she launched forwards. Lashing out, she caught his wrist and twisted, hard. He grunted and she growled in response. Gripping his wrist with all she had, Tanis drove a knee towards his middle and stabbed the knife down. His free hand caught her arm, as if he could track her movements. He slammed her into the wall. The breath exploded from her lungs, but even as she wheezed, she fought, writhing, twisting. He was inches away, and still she couldn't see him. Panic threatened. Had he done something to her eyes? It didn't matter. Curling her grip, Tanis angled the dagger towards where his arm should be. Light bloomed. A spark, and then a flame shivered within a bobbing lantern. Griffin snapped into existence before her. Distracted, he glanced over his shoulder. Tanis's eyes, her working eyes, darted towards the door. She stamped on the inside of his boot. He grunted, grip loosening. Yanking her arm, she turned to duck beneath him, but he leaned in and pressed her flush against the wall. Swearing, he plucked the dagger from her grip and chucked it across the room. Her back against his chest, Tanis continued to squirm. His body was a wall of stone, her cheek scraped against the splintering wood of the wall. She'd bleed, but she'd worry about that when she got away. Enough. She flinched as Griffin released her, stepping back. There really was a second person here. She fancied her chances against one, even with the threat of impossible darkness. But two? She wasn't going to wait around to test those odds. Tanis bolted, fixing her eyes on the moonlight now framing the door. A man bearing the lantern stepped into her path. She veered left, eyes darting to find another escape, but the room was small. Keeping them both in sight, she backed towards the wall nearest her knife. Cheek burning, she yanked forward her hair to hide her golden scratches. There was only one exit, so Tanis coiled, ready to fight. Griffin stepped into the light, and she curled a lip. He curled his right back. A snarl shared. We apologize for the theatrics. She'd been so focused on Griffin, she'd barely spared the lantern-bearer a look. But when he stepped close, his face glowed behind the flame, and it was a struggle to mask her reaction. He was the opposite of Griffin. He smiled at her, for one thing. His slicked back hair was golden and neatly combed, his green eyes were bright. As much as Tanis loved her people, it was always nice to look upon somebody clean. He was dressed in the sort of finery that only the richest of the Mirror Isle could afford. All black, but for the emerald-green lining of his winter cloak. The cut fit perfectly. It was, literally, made for him. Griffin wouldn't look out of place in the bowels if you gave him a few days to accumulate the appropriate level of grime. Not this man. One polished boot dabbled in a puddle. The other rested on a rotting chunk of wood. He looked at ease, but he didn't belong here. At least the immediate threat of a beating, or worse, had passed. Men like this weren't brutes. Men like this hired others to slip poison into wine. That meant Tanis had time to wait for one of them to drop their guard. "What is this?" she said. The man's smile widened. He had a lovely smile, and all his teeth. I wished to meet with you. She flicked her wary gaze towards Griffin. When he'd attacked, she'd given up the last thread of hope that his lord existed, that the note had been anything other than a trap. Cocking her head towards the rich man, she folded her arms. "You're him, then?" "If by him you mean Lord Olinger, yes." She felt no small amount of self-loathing in that moment because her dominant thought was how impressive he was. It wasn't just that he was pretty and clean, but he carried himself with a confidence she'd never encountered face to face. It was the confidence of wealth, which Tanis normally snuck up on while it slept. Not him, though. She hadn't heard of him. He was older than her 18 years, but not old by any stretch. There could be 5 or 10 years between them. It made a change to be dealing with somebody so nicely packaged. She could make something out of this, enjoying the view along the way, and if he invited her to his townhouse, she'd still feel that evergreen satisfaction of robbing the rich blind. Griffin cleared his throat. Tanis shot him a smirk. Let him think she'd come over all lustful for the fancy noble. Let him think she'd dropped her guard first. If you wanted to meet with me, you could have, I don't know, told your friend to not attack the moment I stepped through the door. Olinger placed the lantern at his feet, clasping his hands behind his back. Unsavoury, but necessary, I am afraid. Everything about him, from the way he spoke to the way he moved, screamed, I am disgustingly wealthy. Tanis wasn't clean. Her breath was likely terrible, and she had patched patches on the few clothes she owned. But she was worth no less than him. That she knew. She shot a dark look at Griffin. Slamming me against the wall was necessary, you mean? He stared back, stone-faced. My note might have fallen into the wrong hands, said Olinger, and any lowlife of the bowels could have turned up here. She bristled. I am a lowlife of the bowels. His eyes roved over her face. But that is not all you are. And Tanis's heart thrummed a warning. Griffin brought you here on my orders. Before we welcomed you on board, I needed some assurance. Had I invited you to my home, you would never have come. If you had been warned of a test, you would never have come. And Griffin attacking me was the test? He won, in case you hadn't noticed. I guess that means I failed. Can I go now? I've got work to do. Olinger smiled again. She felt traitorous satisfaction that she amused him. I am assembling a team, and I want you to be part of it. She watched him, waiting for the blink that spoke of a lie or the duck of a head that whispered a ruse. What had she proven in that scrap? Nothing at all, yet his smile was sure and she knew she needed to be careful with this one. Why me? She asked. I have everything else I need. The funds, the knowledge, the muscle. The final piece to my puzzle is a thief, and an accomplished one. She arched an eyebrow. That's quite the accusation, and I'm offended by it. Olinger's cheeks dimpled when he laughed. How annoying. Well, Griffin, he said, mirth laced into each word. It seems you were wrong and Lady Nightlinger is not who you thought she was. He clapped a hand on Griffin's shoulder. Not breaking eye contact with Tanis, he bowed. Apologies, then, for the misunderstanding. She rolled her eyes. Fine, I'm a spectacular thief. What's the job? The lantern light danced in his eyes. I want you to break into the Guardian's tower and steal something for me. She must have misheard. She simply must have. Sorry? Olinger only nodded. Blinking rapidly, she looked to Griffin for assistance, but he stared in a way that was already becoming familiar. She stepped back, shaking her head. Are you out of your mind? It will be a small team. Griffin, I think you need to find yourself a new master. This one's off his head. Griffin's mouth twitched. We have time to prepare, so we might execute. If you go near the Guardian's tower, you won't be executing anything. You'll be executed yourselves. Olinger stepped towards her, eyes burning with a conviction that stirred something in Tanis's gut. But there was reckless, and there was certain death. She wasn't about to let a pretty face lead her to the latter. Hands balled into fists, she pushed off the wall and marched up to him. Griffin moved to stop her, but Olinger held up a hand. She needed no further encouragement and shoved him. He wasn't packed with muscle like Griffin, but he barely moved. You are insane. I might have put a mark on my back in coming here for this? The Guardian's Tower? It stood within the high walls of the palace, which was actually an entire island that had been dragged from the depths of the sea by the witches 1,000 years ago. It was an impenetrable fortress of slick black stone, connected to the Mirror Isle by a single bridge, home to the Bloodhound and the Guardian herself. She'd had a terrible day, and then Tanis had dared hope this might be something. Now, she glared at Olinger for managing to exist and still being a disappointment. He didn't flinch from her anger, and, not for the first time, Tanis wished she wasn't so short. I assure you, he said, calmly. I am quite clear-headed. She made a sound in the back of her throat and stepped towards the door, content to abandon her knife in her desire to just go. A hand gripped her elbow. Wrenching free, she spun, surprised into silence when she saw it was Griffin that had grabbed her. Listen to him, he said, brow furrowing. She was incredulous. The Bloodhound and his dogs execute innocents every damn day, and I'm supposed to listen to some half-cocked plan about stealing from beneath his nose like it isn't the surest way to welcome a noose around my neck? Griffin hesitated, arms dropping to his sides. She threw up her hands. Next thing, you'll tell me the Huntress is real and she's part of the team. Nostrils flaring, she shook her head. Don't contact me again. Do you not wish to strike back? Olinger's voice rose. Do you not long to hurt the one that has hurt so many? We can do this, you can. And after, the reward will be beyond what you can imagine. Tanis ground to a halt, placing her hands on her hips. You know, I can imagine quite a bit. Beyond even that. Something in his voice changed, and against all instinct, her gaze was drawn back. What is it then? She said. Olinger cocked his head to the side. What is it you want me to steal? He shared a look, a wary look, with Griffin. Tanis's eyes narrowed. I am afraid it would be too dangerous for me to share such information with a stranger. You will know the details of the job when you join us. She watched him for a long moment, waiting for him to say more. When he offered nothing beyond an endless smile, Tanis puffed out her cheeks and rubbed a hand over her face. Okay. Goodbye. This had been a complete waste of time. Again, she turned to leave. The flame in the lantern flared brighter, an orange glow unfurling in the dark space. Tanis froze mere paces from the door, her skin prickling. She looked back, her eyes finding Griffin's. His gaze was steady, and there, above his lip, where one of her flailing arms had caught him, was a spot of shimmering blood. It was golden. Bleeder, she whispered. She should have known when she stepped into this dank room and the torches went out. Griffin lowered his hand, and the flame dimmed again. She swallowed. It took an incredible amount of trust, or desperation, for a Bleeder to reveal themselves. She didn't like it. She didn't want it. Our team is not powerless, said Olinger. You will be protected, aided. We just need you to get us in. A fireforger can't do anything against a stone palace surrounded by the bitter sea, Tanis said through clenched teeth. There's no way you can do this. There is, said Olinger with such belief that she had no choice but to meet his eyes. And once they caught her, She couldn't look away. "If you join us, I will show you." Goosebumps prickled Tanis's skin. "You'll die for nothing." Olinger stiffened, and his gaze cooled for the first time. He wasn't used to rejection. "I leave the city tomorrow evening for my estate near the Stone Drums. There, my team will prepare. If you join us, you will be housed and fed in comfort. You will have whatever you need and whatever you request for your indulgence. Moreover, know that our success will earn you coin beyond your wildest dreams. You would never need to steal again. Never need to risk your neck on an icy winter night." That was the killer, wasn't it? The money. Did it matter that a job was impossible when the reward was so rewarding? Couldn't she try, then scarper the moment things turned sour? It was a joke, sure, but there'd be all sorts of things she could siphon from his estate. A different world, an old one, blossomed in Tanis's mind. A memory she barely remembered. A time when this cold, hard city was full of colour, life, and magic. Those days were gone, but she'd never seen what lay beyond Celestia's walls. Protection? Comfort? Indulgence? What might it feel like to live a life that wasn't hanging in the balance at every moment? Tanis tightened her jaw. It would feel false. Just like this meeting felt false. It was fuel for dreamers like Lucky, not her. There was no reason to trust these men, nor anybody else for that matter. "There are plenty of thieves in this city," she said. Olinger looked to Griffin. The bleeder hesitated, then took a breath. "We need you, Windwalker." Tanis's breath gusted and she staggered back. Olinger reached for her, but she jerked away. "Please," he said, "you have nothing to..." She blinked, vision spinning. The words Windwalker barely registered beyond the immediate understanding that they knew she was a bleeder too. She'd thought she'd been so careful. She kept covered, kept to herself. But she'd been found out, and if a noble like Olinger could discover what she was... She rushed for the door. "Think on it," Olinger's voice resounded in her head. "Come to me tomorrow at number 7 on the Crescent. Announce yourself as Nightlinger and my servants will bring you to me." Her hands fumbled on the rickety handle. She felt him march towards her. "Please, you have nothing to fear. Your power is a wonder. The things you could do." Tanis yanked open the door and a storm rushed in. Ice wind whipped her hair. Snow cocooned her against the black night. She sucked in a bracing breath before looking back to Olinger and his loyal bleeder. "I'm not your Windwalker." And with that, she fled to the comfort of the boughs.